The Carmen and Yurko podcast is brought to you by Vitacost.com. Vitacost.com is a trusted brand for all your discount vitamins, supplements, health foods, and beauty products. Use promo code CARMEN15 for 15% off your entire order at Vitacost.com.
This is Carmen and Yurko on ESPN 1000.
See what we're up to.
See them on Twitch at ESPN 1000 Chicago.
Thank you for listening and calling. We appreciate you greatly, more than you could know. Crosstalk brought to you by Hawthorne Racecourse. Fall Thoroughbred Racing is back at Hawthorne. They have a newly remodeled rooftop deck for both sports betting and horse racing. And get in on all the action at Club Hawthorne and the Points Bet app for your sports wagering and their Points Bet lounge. It's awesome over there. Carm and Yurko.
Bum, 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 Where's bum. Hoodie? Hoodie had to go to practice?
Hoodie had to go to basketball practice.
Basketball practice.
That's right.
You can't miss crosstalk.
He's working on his free throws.
Woodrow.
How are you guys?
Good. How are you?
Good.
Bulls win.
How about how that
Alex
game
Caruso,
ended?
Alex Caruso, baby.
How about how that ended?
Yeah, that was right there in the number.
94-90, and they take the two off the board.
Cover. So, hey, we told you to lay the five with the Bulls.
So I was.
We didn't think you'd sweat it like you did. But.
I was talking to a friend of mine who's a Division I basketball ref. He said that they have a mandate starting last year from the NCAA. It could literally be 100-37 if there is a last-second basket. Must be reviewed because it could affect the total, could affect the line, whatever it is. Automatic.
Of course.
So
there must be integrity.
So they had
you must check.
So they checked it last night. And
everybody with a Bulls minus five or five and a half ticket cashed.
That's correct. But there were people like Jason
Congrats.
Goff started the
post game
by saying, hey, they took that last basket off.
Because originally they had it on the board.
Correct.
And Goff came out and said that. And
That's how
like,
he started. Not like welcome into the post game.
Yeah, no.
Hey,
right?
they took those two off. That Bulls, basket's no good.
Bulls cover by a half point.
Crazy.
Yeah.
I played him on the money line.
Ooh,
very
yeah,
small.
There you go.
So I had a win.
Winner, winner, chicken dinner.
Yep. So that's the deal. Yurko, how are you today, kid?
I'm good. I'm excited. Bulls win. Yay.
Good night of basketball.
Yay, Bulls.
What does that mean?
I love them. Mom, it's the excitement I have for the
if
Bulls.
If they would have lost to the Pistons.
That would have sucked.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, they didn't.
Game one of 182.
I know where the 44, kid.
40. I'm going to say 44. The Bulls won 46 games.
I've got 44 for the Bulls this year.
That's an over. Both of them would be
both would be
over.
Right,
43 and a half was the number.
Yeah, 43 and a half.
Yes. Yeah, 44 is where I got them at.
So
I think that's good.
We're close.
I think that's where the Bulls are going to be.
We're close.
A six seed, though. I've got them as a six seed.
Six seed, yeah.
What did you guys think of Jalen Johnson? Obviously, it's not his first time being late. And he gets fined $2,745 max the first time you're late on the collective bargaining agreement with the players and the NFL. And the NFLPA, and then he goes to Instagram to criticize being fined.
That's pretty silly. I mean, you're not late for a social gathering or something. You're late for work. Don't be late for work.
Correct.
Brad Pitt tells, who is Brad Pitt tell in A River Runs Through It? Remember he tells the guy, he says, three things we're never late for in Montana. Work, church, and fishing.
What about,
don't be late for work.
What's the number two rule on Bill Belichick's three rules for work? Be on time.
Be on time?
That's it.
And your coach, Tom Coughlin, said if you're 15 minutes early, you're on time. If you're on time, you're late.
No, what Tom would do, it was Coughlin time, we'd all be congregated in the weight room and Jerry Palmieri would be looking down the hall.
Who is that?
Jerry Palmieri was the strength coach. So he's looking, he goes, Tom's on his way. So when Tom was on his way, we all filed into the auditorium.
There you go.
And we sat in there. If that door closed weren't in it and you tried to open it, sometimes it'd be locked, or sometimes you'd walk in, and he'd just say, out.
Out. You're late.
Out. You're late. You're not part of this meeting.
I mean, listen, Jalen Johnson, come on, kid.
Hold on.
I mean,
then you'd get the confidential letter.
Yeah.
The confidential letter, you'd open it up, and you'd find out what your fine was for being late.
And
that's
just
what it was.
Take it right out of your check.
Everybody was treated the same.
Yeah.
If you were late, if coach was late.
Oh, was that right?
Coach was not allowed to be in there. The assistant coach was not allowed to be in there. He had to sit and wait.
I mean, you know, it's pretty.
It's the way it works.
If you and might think, fans might think it's petty or why.
Doesn't make a difference
for a meeting.
It's as simple as that.
You're professional. When they fined Michael for walking in late at the Multiplex.
You're a professional. Michael may not care.
Michael was pissed.
Yeah, well, he was upset because he was going after his money.
How many times was he late after that? Probably not too many.
Don't show up late. It's not too hard.
It's the bottom line. And his move at showing what happened, there's no sympathy.
No.
I don't have any sympathy for him whatsoever.
No.
Too bad. Be on time.
Yeah.
I mean, don't cry to me. You do the crime, you got to do the time. In this situation, if you break the rule, you got to pay the fine.
Don't be late.
Sit.
Simple as that.
I had no problem that he got fined.
No, of course not.
None whatsoever.
I mean,
you guys are asking for a grade on
Fields.
Justin Fields. Yeah, well, the offense is a resounding failure.
Yes.
The offense is a big F. An F for the offense.
I think you get a
D-plus, C-minus for Justin Fields. And I heard all the callers. He's developing. Yeah, but I just have to grade him. I have to grade him for what's actually happening on the field. So if I'm grading him for what's actually happening on the field, it's a D-plus, C-minus. Do I expect it to get better? Of course.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
I think everybody expects it to get better.
I sure hope so.
This better not be the high watermark for the young man as he moves forward in his development in his career. But right now, the actual grade, what we have for achievement is D plus, C minus. That's where you're at. It's just cold, hard truth and facts. That's all. Hopefully it gets better. That's what you're looking for it to get better.
We've got Thursday Night Football tonight.
Yes, we do.
Dog game because...
Yeah, I mean...
Not always. Anytime there's a wagering opportunity.
There's always a money-making opportunity.
That's right.
The Browns have Case Keenum at quarterback. Baker's out. No Kareem Hunt, right?
No Kareem Hunt.
And
no Nick Chubb.
Who's running there? Khalil Herbert?
Doesn't matter who it is. Doesn't matter.
Ernest Johnson will step in.
As long as the offensive line is blocking, the young Ernest Johnson has got a chance and opportunity to make something happen.
Yeah.
That's it. That's all that matters to me.
Broncos.
And you've got
the Broncos need a win.
You got two defensive teams. They started 3-0, and now they're 3-3.
Well, the schedule got a lot tougher. No more cupcakes on the schedule.
That's the way it works.
For Vic and the boys.
This game's in Cleveland, too.
This game is in Cleveland.
And then you're leaving when, tomorrow?
No, I'm leaving Saturday morning.
Saturday morning.
Oh, Danny's got, like, tonight and tomorrow
night. Carmen doesn't come back until Monday. Late Monday night.
The same with Danny.
Yeah. You come back Monday night? I didn't know that. He's coming back Monday during the day. Danny had to leave because he got screwed by Frontier. I mean, he didn't plan on leaving tonight.
Anytime you decide to fly Frontier.
Is costing Danny Zetterman?
Yeah.
He's got to spend four nights at the hotel.
You want to go to Tampa? What do you think about a short stay in Denver?
Oh, my God.
What?
Yeah, right.
Chicago,
I mean, really.
To Denver to Tampa.
We're going
to
take you to Denver first.
Listen, not that I want to know where you're staying, but are you staying at a nice, reputable facility?
Yes. Yes.
I hope you're not staying at the Red Fox Inn or something.
No, we're staying at a nice hotel.
I got Danny hooked up. I helped him get a cheaper rate.
That's good. At least he's got to save
a little bit of money.
I mean, it's ridiculous. Poor guy's got to spend four nights down there now. Yeah, because of travel problems.
Hoodie and I were talking. We're hoping that the Bears win like 20-3 and Tom has like 86 yards passing.
No, you don't want to see.
Danny, would you rather have it be 47 and drizzle or Tom plays awful? One of them's got to happen.
You mean in Tampa, 47? No, I'm going to see Tom Brady. I don't care if it's 32 degrees. I want 6 touchdowns. I want no interceptions. I want a perfect passer rating.
It is Tom Brady. Like, I want the Bears to win, of course. We'll be cheering for the Bears, but, a nice little shootout would be fine by me. Bears throw the ball a little bit more against that depleted defense of Tampa Bay. You can't run against Vita Vea and the boys.
Yeah.
So let Justin Fields throw it a little bit more. Get the ball down the field.
My prediction is 56-49 Bears.
I don't know about that.
What would be fun is if you popped a calf during...
Ooh, Brady?
During warm-ups.
No, stop it.
I'm
what's the matter with
he
you?
He popped a calf and you guys wouldn't be able to see him.
That'd be terrible.
I'd be laughing.
What if you guys see Brady's last game ever?
That'd be pretty awesome.
I was on the field for Lawrence Taylor's last game. Didn't know it was going to be his last game. Blew his patella tendon out against the Green Bay Packers in the Meadowlands.
Wow.
If
he were playing great and something happened and he got hurt, I mean, yeah, we could always say we saw his last. I don't think it'll be his last game. Do you know he's two touchdown shy of 600? 600. This guy's going to throw 600
I'm guessing he's on 598.
Yes, good math.
I have a feeling he's going to go 601, 602.
You know what that means? Four of
them? They scored 28 points.
If he throws one touchdown pass, you guys will see the record-setting touchdown pass in NFL history. Yeah. They're going to stop the game for that?
I think they're going. They would have to, yes.
So which one did he? That. Just broke the yards record.
Yards
right,
in New England, yeah.
And
yes.
So is he really is one shy? Who's got 599?
No. What I'm saying is he owns the record. So every time he throws a touchdown pass,
you're seeing the
new record every time.
Yeah, every time he throws a pass. That's right.
Man, you guys
got to get
to
600.
They got some nice sushi restaurants down there in Tampa, too.
They got a bunch of great restaurants. I like Tampa. Tampa's not a bad town. St. Pete, sleepy, snoozy, fun.
Go to Ybor City.
The bridge, but,
I've already told you go to Ybor
City. Yeah,
Ybor City.
Hyde Park's really swanky and cool. Tampa's a good little town.
Yeah, Rock Mamola came by the studio this morning.
Yeah.
53rd Street. And he's a program director down in Tampa.
Yeah.
And he said, it's a great town. He was giving Danny a couple things you guys need to do.
Tampa's a good town. Busch Gardens is awesome. I mean, fantastic place.
He gave Danny some park that you got to go to.
Where Tiger King was, where the Netflix thing?
Yes, I was there. I was at the Tiger King. Big Cat Rescue. We went there. I mean, I didn't know.
Was James Williams there?
No, not that big. Different Big Cat.
This is
before Netflix had ever made Tiger King. I mean, we were with the kids. It was like on the attractions, the things to do. And so we went to Big Cat Rescue. Yeah, I've been there.
You and Carol Baskin had
lunch? Yeah, I didn't see Carol Baskin. I mean, I wouldn't know
what probably saw her.
Carol Baskin was back
then. Yeah, you didn't know who she was, but you probably did see her.
It was like 2017, 2018.
She's leading the tour.
Yeah, I mean, I wouldn't have known who she was.
Right. You wouldn't have known, but you probably ran into her.
Probably.
Yes.
Yeah.
It's always exciting.
88 all weekend.
Leroy Selman used to have a nice restaurant down there. You should stop by.
Yeah. I don't know. Is it still open, Leroy Selman?
Yeah.
Tampa's a good town, though, seriously.
Will there be an adult night where the adults go out?
No. Mons Venus?
Adult night.
Kids can't stay in a room together?
No.
I mean, what?
They're nine. Gio's the oldest. He's 9 and a half.
Oh, yeah. That's problems. Yeah.
My friend, the great Tony Pavic, had a great idea. We didn't think of this. You and I should have got adjoining rooms. The kids could have slept in one room while the adults partied in the other.
Yeah, we could have done that.
That would have been good.
Just party with the kids in the room. They'll be fine.
Yeah.
They'll be on their iPads anyway.
Dad, how do you make that you're smoking, Dad?
Yeah, I told you that.
How do you make an old-fashioned, Dad?
How do you make an old-fashioned?
Dad, can
it's
I have...
old-fashioned week, by the way.
Dad, can I have one of these gummies? Yeah, I saw your Instagram post.
A whole week of old-fashions. Old-fashioned week.
You were drinking the Piggyback Six.
Yeah, the Piggyback Rye.
Is it Piggyback?
Yeah,
Piggyback Rye.
Yes.
That's right.
Whistlepig Piggyback Rye.
I don't think there's a lot of mask wearing down in Florida either.
Well, we're all vaccinated, and if we're inside and they tell us we'll put a mask on, we'll put
you
a mask on.
You got to keep them vaccinated.
We'll be outside most of the time. I mean, we're doing some fishing. Sure, we're going to the game.
Don't worry, they will not tell you to put a mask on.
No, probably not. Not in Florida, but we'll have them on the plane and all the usual.
Yeah.
Just got flu shot yesterday, too.
Congratulations.
I got mine 2 weeks ago.
Congratulations. Nice. I had a buddy get a shingle shot yesterday.
He's
up in that age.
Yeah, when you get older, they say you got to get that, right? So if you've had chicken pox, you have the virus in you, is that right?
Correct. I had shingles, remember that?
Yeah,
like 3 years ago?
Right.
Yeah, your face was all mashed up.
Yeah. So I had chicken pox as a kid, like most of us, right?
Sure.
So we all have the shingles virus?
The shingles virus is in your spine.
It's there.
Yay.
Yeah.
Welcome aboard, man.
Oh, my God.
I got to get that shingle.
Every
booster first.
Every time you get adjusted, you could release that into the stream.
Oh, stop, Yerk.
Every time you get adjusted, man, go see your chiropractor.
You could get it released.
Crack. Released right into the stream from the spine, man.
Oh, my God.
It's where it's at, Carm.
Shingles virus. Jeez.
It's the worst.
I remember when you had it.
I had it.
The shingles?
Yeah. It wasn't that bad. It was okay.
Oh, my God.
I had it all over the side of my face. Oh, it was horrible.
I just had it on my back. That was
it. Back?
Yeah.
It's
awful.
No Gouda.
All right, kick me out.
Time to go. Time to go.
You guys have a great day.
Bye-bye.
Danny, you have a great trip, man.
Safe travels. See you Saturday, DZ.
Football Friday tomorrow. Hoodie and I back tomorrow. And it might be nice if the Blackhawks find a way to win tonight.
They're playing Vancouver. You better.
They lose tonight, they might start 1-8, 0-9.
What is it about Vancouver? Did I tell you they were from Vancouver, or did I tell you they were from Vancouver?
They're from Vancouver. That's a movie. You're going somewhere.
My Blue Heaven. Come on.
Yeah, there we go.
Have a great rest of your day. Good luck, Stan Bowman. We'll see you tomorrow at 7. Carmen, you're next.
listening to Carmen and Yurko
on Chicago's home for sports.
ESPN 1000. Don't miss a minute of Carmen and Yurko. Tell your smart speaker to play ESPN 1000.
Vucevic, Williams, ball at Io. Levine, tough shot over Jackson.
Professional shot maker.
Levine, step back three. Goal! Levine sizing up Stewart. The drive to the rim. Got it to go. Levine, oh, up in the jam.
Did you get your ticket on Friday?
First one of the year for Zach Levine. Made the shoot. Levine, turnaround, tough shot. Got it.
Kobe. Oh my goodness.
Woo. Here's Levine on the drive with the reverse. Oh. Got it to go on a ball.
Bucket. Bucket.
Well, it's a giveaway by Detroit. Numbers for the Bulls. Io to the rim. And a steal. Caruso. Io again.
His second score in the NBA.
And the Bulls just like that jump out in front by a pair. Veteran savvy that time by DeRozan.
Oh, 2-on-1.
Ball. Levine. Back to Zach.
Oh, that's a fast break right there. Showtime Bulls.
Woo! Adam Amin, Stacey King, NBC Sports Chicago. Last night, the Bulls are back for the first time in like 5 years. They open up the season with a win. And maybe it wasn't pretty. It's the first, but 94-88, it's a win and a cover.
First time they've been above 500 since 2017.
How about that?
You know that? I heard that yesterday. I started laughing.
Boy, is that right?
That is right. Well, you talked about it, right? You just said it. Well, they have above 500, and they've lost how many straight opening days?
Oh, my God. But you're saying above 500 at any point in the season?
At any point in the season since 2017, Carm.
Good Lord.
I mean, if you're a Bulls fan, aren't you excited today? I mean, it's the first time in 5 years that you've actually had a winning record.
Long way to go in a 82-game season, obviously, and expectations are higher than they've been in a while. But I do think this Bulls team will be fun, and I think we got a little glimpse of that last night. Now, they scored 94 points. They were miserable from distance. But, like, Zach can flat-out score. We know it. And while he's not a perfect player, Zach can score. And he was a very efficient 11-17 from the floor last night. How about a perfect 11-11 from the line?
Good, yeah.
Including making big free throws. What, you made 4 or 6 big free throws late to help the Bulls ice it and get the cover if you were laying 5 or 5.5. You saw Billy Donovan close with Alex Caruso on the floor. I mean, any Bulls fan wondering why, I'm not sure which game you were watching.
Oh, no.
That's not always going to be the case, but Alex Caruso
is tenacious on defense. Yes.
And like one of the things that they targeted this offseason in adding Lonzo and adding Caruso was improving their perimeter defense. I mean, it has been a huge weakness of the Bulls the last couple of years. And you can already see it's better with those guys on the floor. You can see it with Caruso and what he can do on the perimeter and just how tough he is and how physical he can be and his ability to fight through screens and be responsible defensively.
You've got to want to fight through screens.
You do.
And he likes to.
You saw all of it.
Seems like he feeds off of it. Yeah.
You saw all of that last night. And so, Io getting some run. How about Io scoring 7 points in 11 minutes? And I hope he continues to get some run because he's just such a smooth athlete and he looks the part. I do think they're going to be a fun team. One thing I questioned at times watching DeMar DeRozan on the floor was how slow it can be sometimes with DeMar DeRozan on the floor. Like, and this is like a game from last night. I mean, it's 82, 81 to go. I mean, I get it. But, like, there seemed to be a few times Billy wants to play fast. And there seemed to be a few times there was a sequence late in the game where he wanted them to run after a stop. And that's when you do run, you get a stop. It's hard to run when the other team's making baskets. You run when you get a stop and you get a defensive rebound. And DeMar DeRozan kind of like picks it up. And Billy Donovan's like, what are you doing? Go. And all of a sudden, DeMar DeRozan like slowly brings it across the timeline, gets into like some sort of 17-footer and missed it. And I'm like, wait, what? So some of that might be a little weird and might take some time. Billy Donovan,
I think, the mid-range game,
crazy. Like, what are we doing? Like, let's go. He wants it. Like, let's go.
Up-tempo. We're gonna.
And I don't know that that's totally DeMar DeRozan's game, especially the last couple of years down in San Antonio. But, you know, there are a few things. It's going to take a little while, and they'll be off and running. But good way to start. I liked it last night. It was nice to watch the Bulls again. The NBA was good last night. He had a double overtime thriller in Boston. No, that game was in New York, right? That was at the Garden. They hung out. The Knicks hung on to beat Boston. And so Alonzo's brother had a big game. We were just talking about LaMelo yesterday. He had a big game for Charlotte. So NBA's back. It's good. And I think the Bulls are going to be okay. Believe this is the best we've all felt about the Bulls in years, right? I mean, years. And Yurko's got them as a 5 or a 6 seed, and I think you're right. They should be competing for that spot. No, no play-in tournament. Like, they should comfortably be in the playoffs.
In the 6 seed, yes. That's where I have them, Carmen.
If all goes according to plan. Got to see more out of Patrick Williams, but I think we will. Hopefully. 312-332-3776. If you'd like to talk Bulls with us, and if you want to welcome back the NBA and the Bulls and what you thought last night,
better
and
shooting
closing though. Lineup. And yeah, they'll be better shooting nights.
It's better shooting. That's
7 to 23 is not good from distance, obviously. That'll be better. I like that they're taking a lot of threes. They got to the line only 50. It was really only Zach getting to the line. Yeah. I mean, I think you'd like to see that number go up. It was another area of concern for the Bulls, and their lack of ability to get to the line outside of
Zach. They were in the penalty. You know, any foul was sending him to the line. They still didn't get to the line a ton. Not a lot of charging fouls called yesterday either. The Bulls were trying to take them. It just didn't make a difference. They weren't calling the charge last night either.
Home openers tomorrow night against the Zion-less Pels, who lost last night.
That's a break.
No Zion for about the first month. So and then they got a home and home. They got a back to back home games. I think this weekend they'll play Detroit again.
Beat the teams you're supposed to beat.
Yeah, you got a chance to be 3-0 to start.
Not complicated. Beat the teams you're supposed to beat. That's it.
I'm feeling a little 3-0 start for the Bulls with this schedule. You know, no Cade Cunningham. You're going to play. I don't think he'll play Saturday either. You're going to get Detroit a couple times without Cade Cunningham. You're going to get the Pels tomorrow night for your home opener. Should be nice and pumped up. Without Zion, I'm smelling 3-0. Follow ESPN 1000 Chicago on Twitch. Twitch.tv. Download the Twitch app. Watch us today and every day in the First Midwest Bank State Street Studios. And make sure you join the chat. Get interactive with us. It is sponsored all this week by 3Chi. Matt's in Wheaton. What's up, Matt?
Matt.
Matty boy.
Hey, guys.
What's up, buddy?
Hey, guys. How are you?
Good. How are
Great.
You?
I'm doing good. So, really excited about the Bulls this year. The whole thing with DeMar DeRozan, I would say watching the game, he's the one that's going to take the longest to get used to the situation.
I think you're right, Matt.
Yeah, but he'll come around. Yeah. And, you know, Vucevic, he's a little off right now. But I want to say this. Last night, the biggest thing that I got from that game was his last year or the previous 4 years, the Bulls would have lost that game. So here we are, game one, and they're already starting to finish and believe in each other. And you know what I like about this team? They play hard. Like, they're out there playing hard like back in the Tom Thibodeau days, which we haven't seen in a long time. So really excited about the team. Just want to hear what you guys have to say.
Yeah, thanks, Matt. Appreciate it. This is clearly the most excited I think we've all been about this team in quite some time. They've got new blood, new leadership in the front office. Now, that's been a little over a year, but this was really their first chance. I mean, think about how awkward all of last year was because of COVID and new regime coming in and trying to prepare for that season. Like, I think it was a feeling out season for AK and that entire crew and Eversley. And so they felt it out. They figured some things out. They have their vision more in line now.
And they made their moves.
Yeah, and they made their moves.
We've seen enough, and now we're going to make our move.
Yeah, easily the most excited we've all been about the direction of this franchise, the future of it, some of the pieces that they did add. At the very least, they should be a somewhat, middle-of-the-pack Eastern Conference team that's going to, I think, be more entertaining than they've been in recent years. And offensively, I think it'll be a lot better than last night, believe me. I'd be stunned if it weren't. Walt's in Bloomingdale. What's up, Walt?
Hey, guys. How are you?
Good. How are you?
Good. Hey, I'm a big fan of the show, and I've been that fan for a long time. I just wanted to make one point on something that Carmen mentioned a few minutes ago, and it's something that I talked about with a friend a couple of days ago, and that's Zach LaVine. For 3-4 years now, we've been talking about the fact that Zach LaVine is this, he isn't that, he's not a perfect player. There are few perfect players out there.
True.
And Zach LaVine is the best thing that we've had in years on this team. Just think, without Zach LaVine, we don't win that game last night. So I'm just wondering, why is it that the media, and I don't want to generalize here, why do they always have these little digs at Zach LaVine? I don't get it. He's a really good player, and I just think we should give him his due.
I don't think it's a dig. I mean, I know what you're saying, Walt, and I'm not trying to dig Zach at all. I mean, like, he is very, very good, and I think you're right, Walt. There are a few perfect players in this league. I guess maybe that's what we're all wanting all the time. Like, who's the next true, genuine top sort of five player the Bulls can point to and say, he's ours. He's going to lead us to the promised land. Like, as much as I love Zach, I don't know that that's him. And is that a dig at Zach LaVine? Okay, I guess I'm guilty, but
right.
I'm just kind of calling it like I see it.
All right.
I don't mean to disrespect him. I do think he's really good.
As it happened, did the Bulls win the trade? A year later, did the Bulls win the trade? And here we are now, what, 4 or 5 years later?
Yeah.
Did the Bulls win the trade?
It always felt like it was going to be Lowry's, you know, greatness, if he could have gotten there, that would dictate them winning that trade. Did they win the trade? I mean, if they're going to re-sign Zach, I would think, right? I mean, don't you guys think?
Well, yeah, but what you just said, though, I think that's why everyone, he's under the microscope. Because of what he's done offensively, right? Is he going to be the leading scorer on the championship team? You know, maybe, but if that's the case, you've got to have a pretty good number two banana alongside him, don't you
yes,
think?
Yes, I do think so.
And so you're going to have to commit probably max dollars to Zach LaVine.
Yeah, you're gonna.
And when you commit your max dollar slot to somebody, you're kind of boxing yourself into that guy as your long-term franchise player, and that's why he constantly gets critiqued.
He's under the microscope because he is their best player, and yeah, like, and we're all wondering, is he good enough to be the kind of guy that can start navigating, you know, 7-game playoff series and win multiple playoff series, you know? So we know what this league is. If you don't have one of the, you know, five best guys or so, you're probably not winning. Can Zach ever get to that point? I don't know. I don't think so. And well, I don't mean to dig at him.
He's only 26 and he's in his prime.
Yeah, he's in his prime. Right? I still go back to, did they win that trade? I mean, with Zach alone, did they win that trade? Jimmy wasn't long for Minnesota.
No. Nope.
It was a disaster
yep.
for the Timberwolves with Jimmy and Tibbs. Disaster. Now, Jimmy's still really good and got a team to the finals in the bubble a couple years ago.
Is that an anomaly? Can you win a championship with Jimmy Butler?
No, I don't think you can. I don't think you can.
Because had it not been a COVID bubble.
And they didn't win anyway.
Do you really think the Heat would have even made it to the finals?
No, I do not. And they didn't win anyway. I do not think you'll win a championship with Jimmy as your best player. There are a lot of comparisons to Zach. So, I don't know. Maybe it's about a wash. Maybe they did consider the way it ended in Minnesota. It was a disaster in Minnesota.
Minnesota considers it a loss.
Yes.
They consider the Bulls have gotten the best of that draft by far.
Absolutely. Yes. Zach's still here. I mean, they don't have Jimmy. Like, they, you know, Jimmy pissed off the entire organization in about a 12-month span. They fired Tibbs. They got rid of Jimmy. So, yeah, it kind of feels like they did. 312-332-3776. If you want to talk Bulls, we got Bears, Tampa to break down. Lots on that game. Lots on Week 7 in the NFL, which kicks off tonight with a depleted Browns team hosting the Broncos. 312-332-3776 for Carmen and Yurko. We'll be right back.
You're listening to Carmen and Yurko on ESPN 1000. Follow at Carmen DeFalco and at Yurko64 on Twitter.
Carmen and Yurko on ESPN 1000, Chicago's home for sports.
Tomorrow we're going to wrap the week, the Football Friday show. Now we'll do our regular show here, 10 to noon. And then Yurko and I are going to drive out to Warrenville. We're going to go to Twin Peaks, one of our favorite stops in Warrenville.
Yeah.
We're going to do a Football Friday podcast, so you can be on hand as we tape a special Bears-Bucks breakdown podcast for the ESPN Chicago app. And we're going to bring out the, Pictionary paper. And Yurko's going to give you a little chalk talk, a little X and O on, you know, what a Wham play looks like and will the Bears utilize it. Against Tampa. Traps. Is that one way to maybe run the ball against Tampa? Because nobody really runs it successfully against Tampa.
You got to block in angles on these guys.
I can't wait to see this. This is going to be good stuff.
That's what I'm here for.
Good breakdown.
Yeah.
I still think you got to look to pass the ball more than maybe you'd like to because of what Tampa does and doesn't do defensively. And they're so depleted in their secondary. You might find some success, actually, as long as you could protect Justin Fields. And maybe you go... Maybe it's got to be the game where you really do try to go quick, get the ball out fast, and still let your playmakers, if you have any, make plays in the middle of the field and in their secondary. I mean, Levante David's probably not going to play. Their entire secondary seemingly is banged up. Like, I mean, it's every one of them, right? I mean, so is there a way to take advantage of Tampa's weakness right now, and that's its pass defense and all the injuries they have in their linebacking core.
And they love the blitz.
Oh, by the way, I got the blitz breakdown for you. You had asked.
Remember, I'd ask you to down and distance blitz breakdown.
So I told you, oh boy, you went down in distance. That's a little tough. I've got down distance.
That's fine.
I asked Jacob Nitzberg in stats and info, and ESPN stats and info.
You know, most first downs are first and 10, so you've got that one already.
First and 10.
Yes.
Most of the time. Unless you get a penalty, procedure penalty.
First and 5.
You get first and 5. They blitz more than any team in the NFL. They blitz about 36% of the time. It's number one. It's a Todd Bowles defense. We know that. So here are their ranks across the downs. So like on early downs, fifth on first down, tied for third on second down. So if you look at early downs combined, first and second down, they are second in the NFL in blitz rate. Third down, they blitz the fourth most often at about 42. We'll call it 43%. Fourth down, 75%.
Yeah, with the limited amount of fourth down opportunities.
Very limited. Yurko's right. So it's kind of hard to really glean anything out of that. Third and fourth down, they blitz the fourth most, about 45% of the time.
It was shocking to hear that first and second down, they're still blitzing.
They still blitz a lot.
And what are the percentages next to first and second down?
First down, it's 33.3%. Second down, it's 31.8%.
Okay.
So there's the down breakdown of the blitz.
Right, so they're a little bit less.
A little bit less.
In first and 10. Frequency might be up there because you face more of those. All right.
But yeah. They blitz a lot.
Yeah.
You know, like they just do. And where they're really going to get you is if you get in third and long situations with a rookie quarterback. You know, that's where this thing could go sideways for them, because Todd Bowles then will have a field day, won't he?
But percentage-wise, I mean, he just likes to blitz all the time.
He likes to blitz.
You know, one out of three plays, he's blitzing. He's blitzing one out of three plays. So if you've got a three... If you have a three and out, he's blitzed on one of those plays.
Right.
Most likely he has blitzed on one of those plays. So you know it's coming. You know you've got to be aware of it. So the communication with the offensive line and the quarterback, and then being able to identify who they have to identify, the mic usually. He's the mic. So they know exactly who they're going off of and who the back has, you know, that kind of thing. Or who the free blitzer is going to be. That helps identify who the free blitzer. Not that it's the mic. But, okay, this is what we're basing it on, our slide protection or our max protection or whatever our protection is going to be, basing on him. If this guy comes, it's got to be out hot.
Right.
It's got to be out hot.
And like,
so that's between Fields, his offensive lineman. Then his receiver's got to see it also. They got to break it up. Communication up and down the line has to be perfect.
Bears are running the ball a lot more on early downs under Bill Lazor. You just wonder what the game plan is going to look like and what they're concocting. Good Lord, hopefully it's something good up at Hallis Hall for this week, you know, because...
They got a chance. Yeah, I'm leaning Bears plus the points here.
Bears are getting about 12.5. Some money did come in on the Bears. There's a lot of points.
But can the Bears score 20? What'd they beat them last year by? 17?
It was 19-17. Yeah, wasn't 19-17, that the final?
19-17.
I think.
It's got to stay under 20 for the Bears to score. I don't think the Bears can score 20 against
them. I mean, that's what just being crazy. Honest. Like, is this going to be another Matt Nagy game where they can't score 20 points?
Yes.
It's hard to win in the NFL if you're not scoring 20. Like, I don't care how good your defense is.
I don't see the offense scoring 20 points, okay? So, does that mean that a defense can't score 7 for you or something can happen on special teams? The problem is, under Matt Nagy, this special teams, besides Cordarrelle Patterson being able to do something,
I thought Grant was pretty good last week.
He's getting better. But it's generic. Their special teams are generic. So the points have to come from the offense and maybe a defensive touchdown. That's it. I don't think you can count on special teams to do anything for you. That's the problem.
The contrasting styles of these two teams, I mean, with Tom Brady and all those weapons and Bruce Arians, I mean, the stark difference between these two offenses I mean, people probably know this, but just if you need it reiterated, the Bucs are third in the NFL in points, third in yards. The Bears are 30th in points, 32nd in yards. The Bucs are a plus 51 in point differential and a plus 542 in yards differential. The Bears are a minus 26 in point differential and a minus 508 in yard differential. The Bucs are first in offensive DVOA. The Bears are 26th. An offensive DVOA. The Bucs are third in offensive success rate. The Bears are 28th in offensive success rate. The Bucs are second in expected points via the pass. The Bears are 31st in expected points via the pass. I mean, the 180 opposite
here. I've extrapolated the numbers out through an 18-game season. I even gave the Bears an extra game.
They only played 17
game. Yeah. I gave him an 18th game.
And
right now, the plan of attack is that they're going to throw for 2,700 yards.
Oh, my God.
They're going to throw for 9 touchdowns. They're going to throw for 12 interceptions. It is going to be by far the worst 9 touchdowns, extrapolating the number, giving them an extra game. Do you understand that? I gave them an extra game. Okay? 9 touchdowns, 12 interceptions, 2,700 yards. Jesus. It'll be by far the worst offensive season, I believe, in the history of football.
It might be. Well, if those are the final numbers, that'll be the worst offensive season.
I mean, but that's where it's trending.
It's not going to be that
bad. Don't judge after one game, John. Don't judge after two. Don't judge after three.
Now it's 6.
It's 6 games.
Yeah, but Justin's like just kind of getting in the flow, and I hope.
Even if Justin does get in the flow and Justin starts throwing the ball for 66%. Who's the guy? The offense is still rudimentary.
I know.
It's a rudimentary offense because of the skill level you have on the offense.
It's rudimentary. Guys aren't really open as much as they should be. Even Allen Robinson. Like, is Allen reading at the line of scrimmage as much as he should?
I see more potent high school football offenses than I see with the Chicago Bears.
I want to talk about that a little bit when we come back to, like, what's up with Allen Robinson? That's a fair question right now, isn't it?
I like it. It's the tease. What's up with Allen Robinson? Let's go to the tease.
Let's talk about that when we come back.
Also, Carm, Bruce Arians made a mention yesterday or something he brought up on Colin Cowherd about what he does with the offense. That is very interesting.
What he does with the offense?
Yeah.
Okay. He looks like a mountain climber with that apparatus, right? Yeah. He looks like he's going to scale Mount Everest with the Sherpa or something, all that gear he's got on during the game.
Yeah. I always think that's like a heart monitor.
I don't know why. I don't know what the hell it is.
Does he have a heart monitor? Is that like, checking his glucose levels?
I don't know.
Is that a diabetes machine?
I don't know.
What is that? Maybe during the game he's getting his kidneys flushed.
Well, you need a dialysis machine.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know. Maybe that's what that is.
He's loaded up like he's going on an adventure with Jacques Cousteau or something. I'm like, what?
There's got to be a Swiss Army knife
in
there.
Is he coaching a football game, or is he like, what's happening here with Bruce Arians?
That could be a good topic, though. Which NFL head coach would you feel safest with it to go on an expedition with?
That is a good topic. We'll not only talk about Allen Robinson, but we'll talk about that coming up next.
You're listening to Carmen and Yurko.
Stream ESPN 1000 easily on the all-new ESPN Chicago app.
ESPN 1000, Chicago's home for sports.
It's not the first time I've wondered about the Bruce Arians contraption. I tweeted about it last year. You can go back on my timeline. I took a picture off of one of their primetime games. Now, last year, too, because it was more into COVID before the vaccine and everything, and he had on, like, the full face shield, right? He's an older guy. He's a 2-time cancer survivor.
Yes, he is.
So he was being careful.
Yes.
He had it, but then he had this big contraption on. We said, what the hell's he wearing? He looked like Darth Vader.
He had the Andy Reid foggy mask on.
He did. He did. And he had, I don't know. I can't figure it out. I Googled, what's Bruce Arians? Mellor goes, Google it.
Yeah.
Google is that for everything. But nobody seems to know. Like, what is that contraption he's got on?
I think it's a heart monitor, glucose monitor.
Listen, I'll tell you this, Yerk. The guy can coach. The guy knows offense. I can't believe the Bears had him in the building and wanted him to do a mock press conference and let him get away.
But again, who was doing who was going through the process?
You want to know why we ask people ask the
that
question?
Don't know.
That's
if
right.
I want people to count beans.
That's right.
Okay? I go talk to the hierarchy with the Chicago Bears and the ownership.
That's all you have to know.
Bean counters. That's what you have there.
Yurko's right.
They don't know a rat's ass about football.
A football person should have known.
They inherited the thing. They inherited it, Carm.
I know.
You get that?
I know. A football person would have known.
Yes.
They would have known, I have Bruce Arians in the building. This is an offensive league, and it's never going back. It's not. And yes, playing good defense is good. And I get it. Like, you want to be balanced. You'd like to be able to do both very well. This is an offensive league.
It is.
If anybody had any sense about football, they would have known this is the guy. We can't let Bruce Arians
leave the building.
But they did, and they hired Mark Trestman. Then they hired John Fox. Then they hired Matt Nagy. And we say, when we wonder why are they stuck in the position they're in, that's why. And the only logical thing to happen was brought up by Waddle and Sylvie about a year ago, and that is Yurko must woo Virginia, marry her, and take control of the team.
Yeah.
It'd be like the opposite major league. You know, remember when she gets the Indians and the guy dies and she's going to say,
We need Yurko to woo Virginia. And then somebody with football sense would be interviewing Bruce Arians and know better than to let him leave your facility without a contract. I'm sorry, I digress. And then we could say, look at our coach with the heart monitor or whatever the hell he's wearing on the sideline.
So
I don't know what scale Mount Everest. Nobody knows.
So
I don't
my
know.
Assumption is he's wearing what most guys wear around their waist.
Probably.
Which is the communication system.
Right.
Yeah. Because he's a tad bit portly, he doesn't like to have to reach down under his bimbeck and hit the button.
Maybe he puts it right there
so he can control it.
He's the best. He's got the Kangol and the heart monitor and the communication. He's the best.
So a lot of folks on Twitter, as you pointed out, Carm, have gone ahead and just assumed that he's getting a start on his Darth Vader costume.
That's what it looks like.
Yeah, it does look very similar to what Darth Vader has on his chest. Also, a couple of folks said that he's wearing a Sony Walkman. throwback.
I could see that.
So,
does anybody else possibly
just explosive C4?
Oh, real nice. Could
plastic.
Yurko, you're going to have to take one for the team here. I think you got to.
You're making an assumption. It is 2021.
All right, I'm trying to think.
Where he's going. You know, Yurko's first move would be to hire John Gruden as the Bears'
No, he would not. Never mind that. Stop it. Then I don't want you to woo Virginia.
I'd bring him in as my consigliere.
No, you would not. I want Yurko to be able to know that he's interviewing Bruce friggin' Arians, and he's not going to let him get out of the room for Mark Trestman.
Well, it's Phil Emery, right?
Yeah, it was Emery.
It was Emery. Wasn't Emery the one that hired Trestman?
Yeah, probably.
Emery.
But that goes back to all of them. It's Ted and George. Like, what are you
Remember
guys doing?
Remember when Emery sat in with us?
I do.
And he
I
was
do.
Here. It was
nice
here.
Man, Phil Emery. It was here. Yeah.
It was right here.
Nice man.
And he had his yellow pad of paper, Carmen. They're all full of numbers.
Yeah.
It was full of numbers. I thought you were going to fall in love with the guy right there.
Well.
Do you think things go differently for Trestman if Chris Conte doesn't bite? And they beat the Packers in that game, make the playoffs.
No,
no, you don't think so.
I think he was going to lose it. I think too many players knew what he was. That guy can call some offense. In fairness to him,
Steve
but
Young
he can't.
And Rich Gannon,
he can't
love
be
him.
A head coach.
I was texting with Waddle earlier today, though. How about like Mel Tucker was in the building as your DC under Trestman?
Yeah,
Mel Tucker seems to know what he's doing.
All
right,
but hold on. Now we forgot about Mel Tucker and what was happening here.
There was a mutiny with the defense. You're right.
Mel Tucker went down to college football and developed as a coordinator when he went down there. Okay? Mel Tucker here with the Bears was a disaster.
Yeah, it
an
wasn't good.
Absolute disaster, Mel Tucker was.
No, you're right. I'm saying that's why it's kind of surprising to see him now reach the heights with Michigan State has.
But where'd he go? He went to Bama.
Right.
He went to Alabama.
He went to Alabama was their defense coordinator, right?
Yes, under Saban.
I don't know if it was D.C., but he was on Bama. He was definitely on Saban's staff.
Yes.
Which is an interesting place to be. And, then did he go with Kirby for a minute to Georgia and then take the Michigan State job? I'd have to look
at
his timeline. Maybe. He might have went with Kirby for a year. Yeah.
So when Mel Tucker gets head coach of Michigan State and he's doing the job he's at Michigan, thank you.
Yeah.
You know what? Now he's ready to come back into the NFL and be a head coach.
All right. Since the Bears.
I'll give you that because he's proven success.
He was 1 year with Alabama, assistant head coach, defensive backs.
Okay.
Then he went to Georgia for 3 years, defense quarter. Then he coached Colorado for 1 year.
Right.
As the head coach, 2019. Right. Now he's in Michigan State.
I'm
I'm not advocating that he should have been head coach of the Bears. I'm just saying it's surprising to see a guy who. Like, that was the worst Bears defense I remember in a long time.
Yes. I do want to get to the Allen Robinson discussion. I think we should have it.
Like, I think this discussion was great,
though. Was good. What's going on with Allen Robinson? It's as simple as that. 312-332-3776. We've got more Bears to talk about. Bulls win last night in their opener. Got a lot to talk about. Having fun. And the NLCS can end tonight. How about that? We'll be right back in 2 minutes.